guests and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody. I am so glad that you are with us today. It's Tuesday Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and some of you may know that I was on the air here quite a few years ago, and then I took a break for a couple of years. And I want to share that one of the best parts of being back on the air with you is that I get to connect again with friends that I interviewed before, and now here we are again. And so it's great to see these special people, and that is true of our guest today. Don Otis was on a couple of times before with his books, and he also brought other amazing authors to our attention, always full of good information. So Don is with us again today to talk about a blueprint for raising boys to be men, to celebrate our gender differences, focusing today on what Don calls their masculine journey. So I invite you to stay with us and enjoy the conversation. Relax, and we'll be right back.
The sights and sounds of downtown Sandpoint create a shopping and dining experience like no other.
Check out the Spirit of the Northwest at Holland's Gallery on 1st Avenue in Sandpoint. You'll find one of the most extensive collections of vintage black and white photography through the photographic lens of the legendary Ross Hall.
Step into Eve's Leaves, where you'll find specially chosen collections from top fashion designers and accessories to complement you and your contemporary lifestyle. Plus, they have great after-Christmas sales. Eve's Leaves opens 7 days a week in historic downtown Sandpoint.
Your favorite Tuesday tradition continues with Bi-Mart's Lucky Number Tuesday. With six items available to win or buy and many winners at every store, you won't want to miss out. This week, win a Sea Crane portable radio or buy it for $30 off with a Tuesday-only price of $169.88. Plus, thousands more win a bag of tasty Idahoan potato soup just by matching their ending number. So be sure to stop in this Tuesday to see if you're a winner. It's Lucky Number Tuesday, only at Bi-Mart.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
It's tax time again, and keeping up with the ever-changing tax laws can be a chore. Rhodes Tax Service in Bonners Ferry has been providing professional tax service for 35 years. Rhodes Tax Service will give you a one-on-one consultation for individual and business tax preparation. They'll help you understand what is going on with your taxes and what changes must be made this year. If you need the guidance of an experienced tax professional, Rhodes Tax Service is here to help. They provide electronic filing, direct deposit, or you can use the Walmart Money Card. To find out more about what they can do to help you, call Rhodes Tax Service today at 208-267-1040 or 1-888-788-1040. Or if you prefer, you can stop by their office just off of Highway 95, one block north of Super One Foods in Bonners Ferry. They also offer a website for payroll at w4payroll.com. Rhodes Tax Service wishes you a great year, and they hope to see you soon. Rhodes Tax Service, 208-267-1040.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Everybody, we are back. Join me now and say hello and welcome to Don Otis. Don, I always enjoy seeing you. Thanks for being with us.
Barbara, I can't believe that you're still sitting across the table from me after all these years. I don't know where you went for that little bit of time. Where did you sneak away to?
I don't know. I went someplace good, though.
I was glad when I heard you were back on the air, and your show has just been terrific.
Thanks, Don. You are very kind. Well, everybody, I want you to know Don's kind of a guy of a lot of hats. He is president president of Veritas Communications, a publicity agency which is based right here in Idaho. Well, let me stop there. Tell our listeners, what does Veritas Communications do?
I work as a freelance publicist, so I get hired by publishing companies to set up interviews for their authors all over the United States and Canada. So over the last 30 years or so, I've probably worked with 1,800 different authors and books and booked people all over the place. So it's been an interesting job because I can kind of take it with me wherever I go, including Sandpoint, although it's getting expensive to live here. So fortunately, I had a house already. That's worked okay.
And you are an author in your own right. I mean, I had you on a couple of times in those years past. We talked about your book, Trickle Down Morality, right. Fit After 40. It seems like there was another one. And they're
Teach Your Children
books.
Well, which
yes.
was kind of a book that was designed to help parents teach their kids moral values and principles.
So. And today we want to focus in on the topic of another one of your books called Whisker Rubs. And I'll tell our audience up front, I have not read the book, but I've read reviews of it and the overview that's there in the chapters on Amazon.com. If you're curious about this book as our conversation goes on, the title of the book again is Whisker Rubs. So one of the things that you've said, Don, is that in our culture, there has been a redefinition of gender roles and gender definitions and our history. All kinds of areas are getting redefined. But how is it applying to men?
Well, I think men are in a state right now where they are, and I'm saying, speaking to generalities, there's a lot of men that don't feel this at all. And I think maybe even in our listening audience, you have guys who are just good men who embrace their masculinity, love their wives and girlfriends, treat them respectfully, raise their kids with honor and respect. I mean, those are the things that we hope men will do. Some of my predisposition and ideas come from my own Judeo-Christian background and my understanding of men's roles. You know, that's really a hard thing to talk about anymore, especially in the age of the Me Too movement and toxic masculinity and all these things that I think men have kind of begun to internalize. And so they're thinking, wow, I must be an angry white guy and I should just go hide somewhere. Maybe North Idaho is a good place to go. Yeah. But, you know, it's gotten to the place now where there's so much confusion out there. And with so many young boys and girls being raised by, broken families, you have a whole different dynamic that takes place. And I wish I could say that it's not a political statement at all. It's just a statement of fact that men have, and it isn't about, this book is really designed to address men and male masculinity issues. It's been interesting that a lot of the people that have bought it have not so much been men, but women who want to understand boys and understand their husbands in a way. That,
praise God
yeah.
for that.
Well,
that's a very good.
It's a good consequence, I think, yeah. in a way. But, you know, it's, you know, when you look at what's happening in our culture with young boys, they really learn the important values of life from, you know, learning to control their anger, to show respect for women, to show respect for authority in school, in police authority, at home. So this begins to break down, and it's really perpetuated by everything from social media to programs on TV. And now we have, you know, the absolute craziness of people saying, you know, you can be whatever gender you want. That just further makes boys and men think, are you're kidding me, right? Because this is not intuitive. This is not biology. This is not science. This is just feelings, and that's not working for a lot of boys and men in our culture.
You know, we may be in a little bit of a bubble up here in North Idaho where, you know, men are men, and yet they know how to treat their women with respect and love and not overlord over them. But out there in the country, I think there are a lot of boys, teenagers, and now adult men who are, as you said, they're kind of confused about what is okay to do, and how can I relate, and who am I? Because they're getting messages that they're toxic, they're male, they really don't like women when they do like women.
Look, men are designed to like women. That's the way God made us. I mean, that's just the way it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. The question is, what do you do with what you are, what you're made to be? And, you know, learning self-control, restraint, respect, love for your wife, showing that, expressing it in ways that are appreciated and honoring to a woman, that's what it's about. And I think what men are confused about, especially a lot of young people in college today who are very much involved in a hookup system, and there's new research that's coming out that's really interesting because it shows that the women that are participating in this, in many cases they feel pressured to, are really going into deep despair and depression. You know, forget the sexually transmitted diseases. So men are not respecting, and boys are not being taught to respect women in ways that typically and traditionally you showed in sort of a courtship environment in years past.
You know, one of the things I want you to speak to is that all children, girls and boys, for those early formative years, they're pretty much around mom, grandma, aunts, kindergarten teachers, elementary school teachers, for the most part, all female. And I think it impacts them. It's really important that whether it's dad, if dad's in the family, or male mentors and uncles and grandpas are so critical, because kids are around mostly women in those formative years. What do you comment on that?
And you know, this gets back to the question we talked about earlier, and that is, are there roles for men and women in our culture? And my answer to that, whether people like to hear it or not, is absolutely there are. And, you know, women's roles have traditionally been to nurture. That doesn't mean you can't be a good single parent mom to a boy, but it is a huge challenge. And you're really way behind the eight ball if that's the situation you're in. So you have to do whatever you can within your power to compensate for that. But boys are taking cues about nurturing and loving and from their moms, and they're taking cues about how to control themselves from the men in their lives. So if you have a father who's an angry, off the wall kind of guy who's always screaming and yelling, that's what they're going to see, and they're going to mirror that. If they don't have a father figure in their life, then they're going to get those cues from either other men or from social media or from the media that they see. And frankly, those role models are really not very positive. Even in professional sports today, we see some of the role models are just absolutely awful. Right. Those are not the people that I want my kids growing up to emulate. So that's a question that I think we all have to ask ourselves as parents, is what do we want our kids to be? What do we want the end product to be?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I was thinking of, this is kind of a different tact, but for so many years, men got the short end of the stick, so to speak, in child custody and divorce and who got the house. And, you know, he's living over here in a loft and she's, you know, so, I mean, I know it doesn't play out that way all the way. And there's been some corrective action in these recent years, but men have been devalued for a long time, and they've been moved to the back burner. And it makes me, I don't know why as a woman, that I think maybe because I had such a good man and you knew
you
Gary.
Did. Gary was great.
Thank you. That it hurts my heart for men to be devalued that way. And I think that when young men start learning that or hearing that or incorporating or internalizing that, boy, I think it's a bad place.
And men do internalize things. I mean, we've all seen the, you know, women are much better verbalizers. They're much better with language and speech. Men are better at other things. But the way God's wired us is really different. Mm-hmm. And what I've said and what I said in this book is I said, you know, instead of trying to make young boys like girls or young girls like boys, why don't we just embrace the differences and say, hey, we love the fact that you're a little boy, and we're going to help you become the best little boy and even a better man than you would otherwise be. So, and the same thing with little girls, but men's frustrations, not just having to do with what's going on legally, but you go back, and I would say this is true of the black community, but a lot of times our social experiments, Aid for Families with Dependent Children, for example, was a program designed to help children whose parents or whose fathers had left. And so what began to happen in the low-income communities is men said, hey, I don't have to hang around. You know, the government's going to step in and going to do this for us. So government kind of threw all this money at these programs and created housing. And we're still doing that today, by the way. We think that government is the solution to our problems. That's not the solution to our problems within the family. Commitment is the solution to it, and loving our kids and staying intact and working on our marriages. There's lots of help for people that are in struggling relationships out there. Yeah. But if we keep looking at happiness as being the overriding principle in our life, hey, I'm not happy anymore, then we give up and we move on and we think the next situation is going to be better for us.
You know, you use the word commitment, but even if the marriage or maybe there never was a marriage relationship, even if that is not going to be a marriage relationship or something where, you know, you're a functional living together family, you know, the father can still definitely stay connected. He can still be involved. And this woman, even if she remarries another guy, needs to ensure that the father of these children is involved and integrated and a part of and kept in the loop on all the decisions. It's important.
If we agree that a man's sense of his role, and even if it's not something that he thinks or verbalizes, but he feels that part of his job as a man is to be a protector, and they are. It's why they're great firemen, that's why they're good soldiers. If you take that role away from him and you say, I don't really need you for that anymore. I've got another guy that's taken over that role.
I can do it. I don't need
or
you.
I'll do it. And there are some women who definitely could do that. But the point is that men will retreat and they will say, oh, okay, well, because I would say one of the greatest wounds that most men feel in our culture today is a wound of rejection. So that is just being perpetuated by this thing is, hey, you know, your gender really doesn't matter unless, of course, you become the vice president of the United States and now your gender matters. So it's just kind of a selective thing.
It is completely selective. You've touched on a lot. I'm wondering if there are other – you've talked about government and divorce, and I think, you know, we're going to get into feminism, but women thinking that, you know, really I can do this without you, so, you know, adios. Are there other social or cultural moves or powers that are separating the family and devaluing men?
Without question. I mean, I would go further back, though, Barbara, and I would say a lot of this began in late 60s, early 70s. There was really an interesting number of things that took place in a short period of time. It was during the Vietnam War. No-fault divorce came out in California. And believe it or not, it was Ronald Reagan, conservative president for the United States, who was behind that, who later said he thought it was one of the worst policy decisions he'd ever made.
He did, yeah.
So, you know, you had the no-fault divorce thing, and I understand where that came from. Another good social policy. We don't want people to feel bad because sometimes there are good reasons people need to split up. But, you know, most cases, it just made it easier for people. So you had that, then you had Roe v. Wade in 73, and that devalued humanity in general and continues to devalue humanity regardless of what your perspective is. I mean, when you destroy a human being, that's devaluing them, whether it's male or female. So a lot of those things began to coalesce all at the same time. You had LGBT rights that came up. You had Martin Luther King. You had the death of John F. Kennedy. So there was a whole lot of upheaval that was taking place in our society at that time. That then took a number of years to kind of catch up. I think education became far more liberalized. There were far more gender studies and feminist studies. So feminism began to take off, and Gloria Steinem would say things like, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. So those messages became internalized in the hearts of men.
And women, unfortunately.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, women bought into that, and it has hurt them. And I think it's confused women. That may be another program. Maybe there's another book. Do you think you'd write the one for women, too?
I don't know. I'm not very qualified to do that.
I don't know about that. It's the other side of the coin. Anyway, we're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now. You know, you can get in on this conversation if you just want to listen to us. We appreciate that. But if you want to get in on it, it's fun. It's free. 205-255. Get you to the Speak Up table.
Winter weather can cause some out-of-the-ordinary things to happen to your auto glass. Side mirrors can get off track. Windshields can be cracked by snow removal equipment. And, of course, there's rock chips. Thank goodness for the experts at Specialty Auto Glass. They repair all kinds of window problems. They have the Aquapel treatment that improves visibility and a mobile service that will come to you. Whatever winter throws at your car windows, visit Specialty Auto Glass, your auto glass experts, at 600 Schweitzer Plaza Drive in Ponderay today.
At Kinnexu Health Services, we believe that stopping a pandemic requires using all of the tools available. Your best protection from COVID-19 will be a combination of getting a COVID-19 vaccine, wearing a mask, staying at least 6 feet away from others, avoiding crowds, and washing your hands often. No one tool alone is going to stop the pandemic. Learn about the benefits of COVID-19 vaccination so you'll be ready when a vaccine is recommended for you at kinnexuhealthservices.org.
Hello, this is Scott.
And Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We have 42 years of combined experience and are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us or check us out on the web, Albertson Barlow Insurance.
Jim and Sonny here. Come to Parker Subaru. We have the right car to fit your budget and get the customer service and attention you deserve.
Thanks, Jim. Yes, Parker Subaru has the right vehicle to meet your needs. From sedans like the Impreza, the longest lasting vehicle in its class, and the Legacy with the largest, most comfortable interior yet. Thinking of a crossover? We have the best at Parker Subaru. Choose from the fuel-efficient Crosstrek, the Forester loaded with safety and tech features beyond the competition, or the legendary Go Anywhere Outback. Or if you need a full-size SUV, check out the Ascent with plenty of ground clearance and 5,000 pounds towing capacity. Make sure your service and repairs are done to Subaru specification. At Parker Subaru, we have a full-service department with fully certified technicians. We'll ensure the job is done quickly.
Come to Parker Subaru and get the award-winning attention you deserve. We're at Highway 95 in Dalton and Coeur d'Alene.
North Idaho's Radio thanks everyone who helped support the 2020 Parker Subaru Sandpoint High School New Car Raffle. Students raised almost $36,000 that will go towards high school activities. Congratulations to Kirsten LeBlanc, the winner of the 2020 Subaru Crosstrek. Finally, a big thank you to Parker Subaru for once again stepping up to help the students of Bonner County. From all of us here at North Idaho's Radio.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's Radio.
Welcome back in, folks. Our guest today is Don Otis. He's an author, he's a businessman, and we may not get to it today, but he is a mountain climber. So he's got a lot of stuff that he could talk to about. But today, we're talking about the role of men in society, how it's changed, and how it is so important that boys are recognized to be different than girls. They need to be brought up differently so they will grow into the men that God designed them to be, and to have the fathers and other men, other mentors, coaches and pastors and other men influencing them and mentoring them to be men of integrity. So, Donna, I just appreciate you and your book, Whisker Rubs, very much for addressing this topic. And from all the reviews I read in the comments, boy, that you addressed it straight on. You didn't mince your words. Let's talk about teenagers. What are some of the special challenges for teenagers in this area?
You know, it's interesting to have this conversation today. The book was written a decade ago, and so things have changed dramatically. And then you throw COVID into it, and you have even more challenges and difficulties. Depression, as we talked about during the break, is absolutely exploding in our country, especially among young boys. So, you know, what are the reasons for that? I think, you know, definitely the lack of socialization is a big thing. But I think, and I call it the lostness of boys, the difficulty in understanding who they are and what their role in life is. What is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do? What am I here for? Does my life have any meaning? And then you add on top of that all the negativity. There's so much negativity going around right now. And boys, they struggle. I mean, if they're going to date and do it in a traditional way, how do I do it? What's expected of me?
Yeah.
So, you know, it used to be the rules were much easier for boys to understand and to follow, and for girls too. It's gotten confusing today.
You know, we were talking about there were some statistics about suicide, and in all age groups, male suicide rate is almost four times the rate of women. But in particular, in the 25 to 44-year-old category, suicide rates for men is almost five times that of women. From 25 to 44, those key years. And of course, we're seeing surging in suicides with our teenage boys, as you mentioned, because of COVID and lockdown and separation, and they're depressed.
So the question is, I think, for those of us that are parents, is what do we do? I mean, how do we keep our kids from falling into these deep parts of depression? And I think, you know, we live in an area of the country that's just absolutely ideal for being able to get outside and to do things. It's pretty spectacular. You're not locked down in the inner city of Detroit or St. Louis or Chicago or New York. So we have some real advantages to that. The disadvantage, of course, is we have a lot of long, dark days that are gloomy sometimes. But I think for me, I would just encourage parents, get your kids out. Get them off their social media. Social media and information technology it's become so me-centered and so me-oriented. It's just creating an entire generation of little narcissists. Yeah. And I don't think that's healthy at all for society.
And the information is so unfiltered. I mean, there's just no – I mean, talk about fact-checking on Facebook or whatever it is that's like crazy. But really, there's just anything can come into your phone. And you know, if you think it's all true, you're in for a big surprise some one of these days.
Well, and that brings up another really interesting question, and that is, how do we determine the difference between truth and error? And I think we have lost the capacity as people for discernment. And discernment is just a simple way of saying distinguishing between good and evil, right and wrong, truth or untruth. And, you know, we hear a lot of people throwing stuff out, oh, this person's a liar or that person's a liar, you can't believe this, or the elections are a fraud, or whatever the case may be. And we don't know what the truth is anymore. So we have become a people that are confused and perplexed.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I remember back in kind of the 60s and 70s when that started, I remember talking to my father on, I don't even know what election it was, but there were two diametrically opposed statements being made. And he believed one, I believed the other one. And I said, but Dad, what's the truth? And honestly, my dad, who's just such a great guy, he just like, it took him back a minute to say, what is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
What is the truth?
You know? That little statement that we hear in court, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That comes from the Bible. That comes from the Jewish literature. And people, of course, they just put their hand on the Bible and they just say their thing.
They get up on
the witness stand and say whatever's expedient for them.
Whatever's expedient, whether it's your curriculum vitae or whatever you're doing. I mean, people just, you know, will say anything now they think will work. All right. Well, we digress a little
bit. We did a little bit. Sorry about that.
But that's okay. I like rabbit trails. They're fun. So teenage boys, depression. You've got a chapter in your book called Middle-Age Madness, The Last Stand. Honestly, intuitively, as a woman, I had no idea what that meant.
Well, I think, you know, we've heard that men have these midlife crises, and many men do. There's no question about it. What I call it is more of a midlife evaluation. A man gets to a point in his anywhere from his 40s to his 50s, and he starts asking, like the old Peggy Lee song, is that all there is? Right. Am I the person that I envision myself to be? And what's really interesting is I know who some of these guys are that are struggling with it because they begin to post pictures from the past on their social media. So I think, you know, they may go out and have an affair. They may go through a divorce and say, oh, man, I think I could do better than this. What am I stuck in this lousy relationship for? But they don't realize the cost involved. There's huge costs in chasing after
their dreams. And you're not just talking about money.
No, it's not just money. It's everything from sex to emotional stimulation.
So, or they buy a Corvette. That could be another thing that you guys...
And that's a bad car to have in inland Northwest. Maybe a Land Cruiser.
Yeah, exactly. Get yourself a Hummer if you have to do something. Before we go on the break that's coming up here in a couple of minutes, I want to get us started in the direction of... Well, you mentioned it before. What can we do? What can moms do? What can fathers do? What can fathers that are in a divorce or a separated situation do? What can we do to get this turned around as best we can?
I think it's – I can tell a quick story, but years ago, I took my youngest son up Mount Hood in Oregon, and he was a little guy at the time. Landon. He's now married into the Schoonover family and successful himself and does a lot of fun outings with me. But he was a young guy, and he was behind me on a rope up near the crux of this climb, and I heard him behind me say, Dad, I can't go on, and I think I'm finished. And so, of course, as a dad, I said, what should I do? Should I say, way to go, son, you made it this far? Let's go home. Or do I say, you know, don't be a punk, you know, let's keep going and just kind of prod him into it, or say, you know, which is what I did. I said, you know, we're almost, let's go another 100 yards. Let's make a decision there. And so that's what we did. And on the way off the peak at that point was a lieutenant colonel from Fort Lewis. And he put his hand on my son's shoulder and he said, way to go, son. He says, you're almost there. You're going to make it. Mm. Well, that's not the end of the story. We got to the top, we came off, and behind me on the way down, Landon says to me, he says, thanks for making me do it. Mm-hmm. And I said, just remember the rest of your life that there's always going to be things that you think you can't do. And, you know, sometimes the best things in life are painful, and you push through that pain and you persevere. So my point in this, Barbara, is that a lot of times what we don't do and what women don't do for their sons is they don't push them outside their comfort zones. And that's exactly what boys often need. They protect them and they nurture them because that's the way God's made them to be.
You know, I want to... a man, they protect them, they overprotect them.
Sometimes.
You know, because sometimes discernment, I mean, you do want your kids to be safe, but overprotection is the issue, and encouragement is the other side of that. And discernment is another word we've used. I mean, you know, it's really evaluating the situation and then pushing yourself on as you push them on.
And if you don't ever put yourself into – and this is what I say in my book, is I say it's important for boys to learn adventure. And adventure, by the very definition, has to be something that pushes us beyond our in knowledge of exactly what we're getting ourselves into. There's some boys and some men that are, you know, thrill seekers, and they, you know, they've got blown out knees from up on Schweitzer and everything now, so they don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But there's a lot of young men that need to be pushed and not to be held back and say, you know, pat somebody on the back for doing a subpar job or getting a failing paper. I've had conversations with numerous teachers in this community, and some of the stories are pretty appalling. You will pass this young person who's only got 3% on their paper. I don't know how that works, but that's not helping the kid, and it's not making them to become a responsible adult.
You know what I just thought of? I think that, you know, the legitimate God-given gender difference between mom over here wanting to protect and you know, hold them safe, it's the dad's job to pull out the adventure, probably in his daughters too a little bit.
Absolutely.
But certainly in the sons too.
Absolutely.
To push on, to push through. And if we don't have dad or coach or mentor, male mentor over here doing that, then we get the too much protectiveness coming in from mom. It's that beautiful balance, mom and dad working together and getting that encouragement to push on through.
Balance is the word. You use the right word. It's not a father bullying his kids. It's not a mother restraining her husband from, you know, seeing him on the floor wrestling with his sons. That's a good thing, because boys want to test themselves against an older male, because that's how they learn how to develop self-control and deal with their emotions. That's all a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But a lot of times, women see that as a negative.
Yeah, indeed. All right, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll have more conversation just for you with Don Otis.
Wise men say, when your grill's smashed in, there's a guy who'll make it straight for you. I took my van into Ponderay, where Bondo Bob made everything okay.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
Wow, your remodel looks amazing.
I know. Thank you. I love it.
Who did all this beautiful work?
Real Estate Rescue. They do it all. They handle everything from remodels to new construction, and they'll even work with your subcontractors if asked to.
Well, I would love to get some things done at my house, but it has challenges.
Don't worry. They'll make your challenging projects their mission. Trust me, they can turn it into everything you want it to be.
That's great. I'm going to call them today.
Call 208-265-9051 or online at realestaterescue208.com.
When it comes to getting a good night's sleep, all mattresses are not created equal. Hi, this is Jody for Sandpoint Furniture. I have over 25 years in the sleep business, helping people find their perfect comfort level. I would like to invite you to test rest the new Beautyrest mattress. I think you'll love it. Beautyrest is designed to give you the comfort and support you need, and their airflow feature helps you sleep cooler every night. When you sleep cooler, you sleep better. Right now, take advantage of our All-American Sale. Great pricing on the entire Beautyrest line. Sandpoint Furniture stocks over 500 pieces right here in Ponderay. You could be sleeping better tonight. Sandpoint Furniture Carpet One works hard every day to be your hometown furniture and flooring store. Sandpoint Furniture, find us on Bonner Mall Way, just off Highway 95 or Highway 200 in Ponderay. Or check us out at sandpointfurniture.com.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Hey, everybody, we are talking with Don Otis today. He's our guest, and we're talking about valuing men and the incredible importance of their impact on their daughters, for sure, also, but we're kind of focusing on the sons and getting our boys to be boys, letting them be boys, and helping them grow up to be men of, like I like to say, men of integrity, who are adventurous and they are providers. One of the things that you have mentioned is that men feel that they can't measure up. And sometimes I think they don't even know that yardstick has been changed. So how do you measure up to a yardstick that you don't understand? But men feel they don't measure up somehow. And I think that's really a problem.
Sort of a collective insecurity in us. I think that's a human condition, not just a male condition. But I think that, and I always do this, Barbara, whenever I hear a woman, a wife speak highly of her husband or pat her husband on the back or give him a hug, it means something to me as a man inside, because I think men, and I think we have this wrong idea that men are either like the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, or they're abusive, mm-hmm. or they're they're sex maniacs, instead of encouraging a husband or a father and saying, you know, you're a good man, and there's a quote that God says after Jesus comes up out of the water as he's baptized, he says, "You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." I mean, is that because Jesus was insecure, or because he was just reminding him of who he was? This is who you are. And this is what we can say to our sons and what we can say to our husbands. You're important to me. I love you, and I'm pleased with you. Yes. Those are really easy things to say, and yet God the Father said that to his own son.
You know, in the Jewish tradition of Shabbat, when the family gathers on Friday evenings, and I don't think that this is just Orthodox, I think it may be in the Reform, but one of the things that happens is the father every week, and other times too, I'm sure, but on Shabbat for sure, they lay hands on their children. They bless them. They thank God for them. They pray good things over them. And it's like, if you can hear that every week, your dad laying hands on you and saying those kinds of things to
it's powerful.
It brings tears to my eyes. What a great thing.
And it's powerful for men, too. It goes both ways, of course. But men are, the idea is that men are strong. They don't need that. They can, they just don't need to be encouraged, or they're just a guy. They have no feelings. So
exactly. That's
and so what
wrong.
I'm saying is break that mold. You know, we've all got our damage from whatever, how we grew up or how our lives have been, and we have to recognize those wounds and those things that have made us what we are today, whatever they are, fear of being touched because somebody abused us. And now we live in a COVID era and we can't touch. And so there's a lot of people that are struggling with that. They're the touchy feely type, who, and I don't mean that in a gross kind of way, touching is an important ingredient for learning acceptance. So you see elderly people that don't have that right now, and they're hurting from that.
I agree. That came up in both my conversation with the Panhandle Health Nurses when we were talking about COVID depression, especially for our elderly, but everyone. We got talked about teens too. And last week when I talked to Dr. Dunn, when I said, beyond the whole COVID question, what is presenting in your office, without hesitating, he said, more depression than I've ever seen. Because we do. We are a social animal. We need to congregate, we need to touch, we need to hug, we need to affirm verbally and physically. And especially me alone in my pod, I'm totally aware of it. And I do a lot of things to make that not be a problem in my life. This is kind of a big question, but I'll lay it out there anyway. How can churches help?
Churches can help by teaching what they say they believe in, and that's that there are differences between the sexes, that God made man and woman, male and female, made he them, and that traditional marriage is God's ultimate design for humankind. It's healthy. It's good for kids. Other kinds of designs are out there, but they're less optimal. And so we want to encourage parents to, you know, stay with their partners if they can, if there is an abuse or if there hasn't been infidelity. I think that's important. And help them, be there for them, nurture them, encourage them, provide opportunities for young men and kids to grow in their understanding and faith and knowledge of values from a Judeo-Christian standpoint. I think that's huge. There's nothing about our understanding of Judeo-Christian ethic of truth and faithfulness and respect and appreciation for what we have that's a bad thing. I think anybody listening to the show, even if they're not from a Christian or Jewish tradition, would say, yeah, those things are important values to me.
Yeah, I agree that you do not have to be a Jesus follower yet to know that it's good to encourage and love and support your children and husbands to wives and wives to husbands and to sons and daughters. There's a quote in your book that I think I've got time to read. I'll read it. Quote, boys don't become men in the presence of women. They become men in the presence of other men. They become men when they test themselves, when someone pushes them to the limit of what they think they can do. In a perfect world, dads do the pushing. If dad isn't around or he isn't up to the task, other men must step in. You know, this is a guy thing, and I just want all the guys out there that are listening and the women too, but to encourage, love your men and encourage them to be men.
And we're never going to get it right perfectly. Well, you know, yeah. We're going to mess up. Men screw up. It's going to happen. So, you know, don't be so discouraged that you give up your role or your responsibilities within your family to be there for them.
I'm going to give you one of those really tough questions where of all the things we've said, I'm going to narrow you down to one. What do you think men, and this would be all ages, let's just make it all ages, but men need the most?
Encouragement, pure and simple. It's really not a hard thing to do either. Just encourage them and be grateful for them. So that's all part of it. You know, we live at a time where there's so little happiness and gratitude, and we talk depression. We live in the greatest country in the world, and we're struggling with depression. Let's just be thankful for what we have and be thankful for the people that are part of our family. Go home and give them a hug tonight.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why it is so hard for people to encourage other people. I don't know what has changed in our society. I thank God that I grew up in a time when and in a community in Illinois where that was just the norm. Teachers encouraged us. You were really in a village. I mean, you'd ride your bike all day, but there were always adults looking at you, and they all knew where you were if mom
exactly.
wanted to.
And if you were doing something bad as a kid, you know, some other man might say, you better go home or I'm going to tell your dad.
My mom's phone was ringing if I was ever doing anything. Well, Don, I thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it. The name of the book is Whisker Rubs. It came out a few years ago. It's still relevant. You may be interested in it. I hope you're making every Tuesday a time to be right here with me at the Speak Up table. You know, I don't know who my guest is next week. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get everybody's calendar working, so I've got a couple of names, but it will be someone interesting, and I invite you in on the conversation. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care and be blessed.